You are listening to a True North Eager Beaver Media Podcast. The True North Eager Beaver Podcasts are proudly brought to you by our founding sponsors, the Miss V Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, your source for science fiction, fantasy, and cozy mysteries featuring a broad diversity of characters. CanadianTarot.com, your uniquely Canadian online eclectic tarot community and forum. And The Peppermaster, hot pepper sauces made from fresh farm ingredients to thrill your taste buds and expand your mind. Well, good morning and hello, kids. Welcome to episode number 12 of Just a Nibble, the Not Quite Daily Beaver. For those moments when you still want your beaver grizzly goodness, but just don't have time for a whole bite. Today, recording day is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022, and it's going to be a gorgeous day here at the Beaver Lodge. I'm your host, the Eager Beaver, pronouns he, him. Hey, Mr. Beaver A. And I've got a little bit of extra bass in my voice this morning because, to be totally honest, I woke up just 20 minutes ago. It's been a night of insomnia, so I'm feeling a little rough, but I'm still showing up to deliver for you, kiddies, because that's how much I love you. Of course, a big thank you goes to our podcast's founding sponsors, the Peppermaster, the Miss V Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing, and CanadianTarot.com. Good morning to you, Mr. Grizzly. How are you feeling?
I got to take my mic off mute there. Well, I slept like a log for the first time in a very long time. Like, literally lied down, fell asleep, woke up when my alarm went off. In a complete state of confusion, thinking it was A, Saturday, B, realizing it wasn't Saturday, but did not know what day it was.
Oh, no.
Forgot we were supposed to do a show. This was at 5 a.m., so, you know, no big deal. And then realized, oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, yes, yes. And then I got up to make some coffee and realized when I purchased beer, bagels, and bread last night, I forgot to purchase coffee. I checked off the B's, but I forgot the C's. So this is a hot mug of orange Pico this morning, and it ain't cutting it, man. I mean, I like a good hot mug of tea in the afternoon, but not in the morning. It just doesn't do the same for me. I'll have a cup of tea after I've had a cup of coffee. I need that jolt of caffeine to get me up in the morning. I've been drinking coffee since I was like 13, so...
Okay. For me, it's just water in the cup this morning. I'm just trying to, like, put some humidity in the vocal cords.
fair point.
Is it just a half-hour show again today, sir?
Yeah, I got to be in the office for 8. So, yeah, a little, well, maybe a half hour and maybe a minute or two more, but not a whole lot more than that. So I got a couple of quick headlines. First off, we'd like to apologize to Mexico for this. Chris Sky is apparently moved to Mexico. He's a temporary resident, so Mexico, we apologize. We expect at some point in time, very soon, you'll be shipping him back because...
Let's just say that if he is... I assume that he's very much into rave culture.
Yeah.
And I would assume that somewhere along the way, given how sloppy he is, he's going to be caught with certain substances in Mexico that he should not be caught with. And that's probably not going to end up very well for him.
You know, I think you're probably right about that.
And I believe in Mexico, I know there was a time where in Mexico the law was that you were guilty until you proved yourself innocent, as opposed to innocent as proven guilty. I'm not sure if that's still the case now or if they've changed that. But
I don't know, but either way, he's probably going to be, it's only a matter of time, I think.
Yeah. Must be nice to have the luxury, eh? I guess he really was suffering if he has the ability to go off to Mexico and become a permanent resident.
Well, yeah, he's like, mission accomplished. I will never be a prisoner in communist Canada ever again. Regardless of restrictions, becoming internationally nomadic is now essential. Does he realize the president of Mexico is very, very left-leaning?
Yeah.
This man's not very bright, is he?
Nope, not at all. Have you got anything else for us this morning?
Oh, a couple things, yeah. From David Wallace. We know David Wallace, the gentleman behind the Klondike Papers.
Yes, yes.
Check this tweet out. I have decades of this shit. Let's roll. You started this war, and now we finish it. I'll burn it to the fucking ground. You know he means that.
Yeah.
He,
indeed.
I mean, he's already, you know, the first story about how they tried to blackmail Nasheed Nenshi, mayor of Calgary at the time, into taking payola, and he absolutely refused. Russian payola, by the way. He absolutely refused because, you know, he's a man of his word and a man of integrity. Oh, there's this one in the headline. I caught this, and I thought I'd put this up because...
Oh, finish that thought, though.
Well, no, that was the thought. That was the thought. Nasheed Nenshi is an honorable, decent human being. And David Wallace has said, you know, I wanted him to be corrupt, but he wasn't. So David is going to be releasing a lot of stuff.
All right.
So this one from Nick Adams, which just made me, I'm like, oh, this guy is just a, he just wants attention. When he prints something like this, Nick Adams, alpha male in parentheses with a check mark, a blue check mark on Twitter. Donald Trump is the most admired man in world history, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, somebody to tweet something like that clearly is either very delusional or is doing it intentionally to try and attract the crazies to get them out to come yelling and screaming at him.
Yeah.
Just to get clicks. That's all it is.
I was responding every now and then when he was saying stuff that was just so silly. You know, not responding as a new tweet like this, but just like more using as an opportunity to make a joke.
Yeah.
Like this. And after about like 2 weeks of that, it's like, okay, this is just sad now. And I've actually like just muted or blocked or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Because first of all, with Elon coming back to Twitter, number one, but I was noticing that when I was doing that, even if I was just clipping rather than responding directly, he just seemed to be appearing more and more and more, and then more people like him were like, Marsha Blackburn was like filling up my feed, and then this Bridget, some woman from ACT or something, like was filling as well. And I was like seeing like 7 or 8 tweets of them a day, and it was like, I don't want that. So, and I'm not typically, like, unless someone's abusive, I'm not typically a blocker, but it's like, yeah, you know what? This is not fun anymore.
Same way. Unless you're abusive to me, I tend not to block. But occasionally, like in the last few days, I've had to block a lot of people because I just don't need the shitstorm. This one I thought I'd put up because this I thought was, you saw this yesterday. Lori Goldstein. Define irony. Emergencies Act invoker Justin Trudeau criticizing Ford Nation for using the notwithstanding clause. The suspension of people's rights is something that you should only do in the most exceptional circumstances. First response from Mays Slays, you're putting on a clown act with this one. And Laurie responds with, no, I'm just triggering people like you who can't come up with a rational response and so resort to ad hominem attacks. To which I responded, well, there it is. You just admitted to spreading misinformation to elicit a response. You're not a journalist. You're a propagandist for the Reformicons. Thanks for telling us, in your own words, exactly who you are.
All right. And like, leave that one up for a second, because let's talk about what's wrong with this one.
Oh, God.
First of all, the occupation of the nation's capital that was going on for a fourth consecutive weekend, to which 3 police departments on their own could not do what needed to do. Either they quit, abdicated, or whatever. Like this apparently does not constitute a most exceptional circumstance, in his opinion. The Emergencies Act, which by definition, written in the Act, requires to be charter compliant.
Correct.
Right?
There are no suspension of liberties whatsoever. None. Yes.
Notwithstanding clause was designed specifically to suspend liberties for a period of 5 years. And it's being invoked because education workers have decided to get a little too uppity for the 400-pound gorilla at Queen's Park. Liking.
So I'm just hoping that
here's some kibbles and bits for you.
This can get retweeted as often as it should, because let's face it, the man is just basically admitted he's spreading misinformation. Yep. He doesn't give a shit. He's not a journalist. He may have been at one time, but that time is long since passed.
Yep.
He's just spreading misinformation to elicit a response and fire up the con base to create more hatred towards the PM, when the PM was doing what needed to be done to protect the citizens of Ottawa. Lori Goldstein is a fucking asshole.
Yep, and the Premier abdicated and was nowhere to be found. And speaking of him, because he is the big story at this moment.
Premier?
In order to... You know, when he turned around and says, you know, don't force my hand. Well, we figured out what don't force my hand is looking like, because the QP workers, education workers, for people who've been reading some tweets of mine, at first I was saying teachers, mea culpa, my error, Kit Hugh pointed out to me that it was specifically education workers. And there's one person who's showed up on the blog page, to say, well, I was like, I can't take your thread seriously because this person, you, thinks that QP represents teachers. And it's like, okay, dude, if you want to be that way, be that way. It's like the central thesis is still the same. I'm comparing two groups. Just because I got the name of the group wrong, the logic isn't wrong. And if you can't see that, then there was no universe, galaxy, dimension, postal code, planet, area code that you were going to take my thread seriously. So, done with you.
So you'd find him on the cover of this magazine, right?
Right, exactly. And then Devil's Advocate Monthly. And then Kit Hugh, this happens to be a teacher. Like this.
Yeah.
And given that teachers, when they grade essays, tend to look at the central thesis, he didn't seem to have a problem with it. So I'm still going to run with it. Mm-hmm. So here we have a situation where Doug Ford has decided that in all his wisdom or thin-skinnedness is going to saddle education workers with $4,000 per day fines for striking. Now we're talking about people who are fighting to make, most of them are making less than $43,000 a year.
I think 39,000 is the average, actually. 39,000. Yeah. Well, so, now, and you got to remember how many of them work in and around the GTA.
Right.
Right? Exactly. Because that's where the bulk of schools are, because that's the biggest population base. So now if you're earning $39,000 a year and you're QP, you know, you're QP union member, you work for the OCD, TDCSB or whatever the case may be, or TDSB, and at $39,000 a year, if that's your income, you're probably have three or four roommates, and or you live in a rooming house because you can't afford to rent a place.
Right.
You can't.
So at $4,000 a day basically takes out their entire annual salary in 10 days of striking. So he's trying to break them, obviously, pre-announcing that. And, right? But I remember during the Ottawa occupation, he said that there was going to be very severe consequences for these people, including suspension of their operating licenses and up to $100,000 fines. And then fewer than 7 days after the occupation was cleared, very quietly, he revoked those suspensions and revoked the fines.
Yeah, curious.
So Doug Ford, when it comes to people who are occupying and terrorizing fellow citizens, has found time, and rather quickly, to remove those consequences. But for education workers,
now you're going to pay.
He found time, and not only did he find time, right? Because it took him about 2 weeks to declare that state of emergency for the province of Ontario after he, when he cleared the bridge. He took a sweet ass time getting there.
Of course he did.
But for education workers, he had everybody show up at work, ready to work at 5 a.m.
yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, in order to do that. Well, gee, your priorities are for that for which you make time. And they're saying, oh, well, you know, it's like kids have suffered enough and, you know, we can't let them suffer one more. This is not about the kids. It's not about the kids. This is about keeping mom and dad at work.
Well, and to that, let's roll this. I got to roll this. I got to roll this clip for you. This is Wayne. What's just give me his name here a sec here. Wayne Gates. He's NDP MPP with the best mustache, period. Yes. This is awesome. So this is his impassioned speech, which is effectively calling for a general strike without saying the words general strike. Listen to this.
But I've been a worker my entire life, and I never once said to the union, I want to go on strike.
Yeah, right.
What I said to him is, I expect you to go to the bargaining table and bargain a fair collective agreement with the employer. And in this case, it's the government.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. And you know what? Every single one of those QP workers, you know what they want? They want a fair collective agreement. A negotiated collective agreement. And I'm encouraging this government, get back to the bargaining table. Get to the Sheraton. QP's waiting for you. Don't bring in a bill that's 100 pages. Because what that tells me, Speaker, through the Speaker, that tells me it's very clear what they were thinking. This was planned because it's attack against the union. It's attack against workers in the province of Ontario. And you know what workers should do in this province?
Everyone.
And I'm going to say it. We need to come together as workers and say to this government, if you take on one worker in the province of Ontario, then you're going to take us all on. Because an injury to one is an injury to all. Thank you very much. And come to your senses at some point in time.
Thank you.
And he's right, because right now he's doing the divide and conquer thing. If he can successfully manage to do this against education workers, then teachers are next, and nurses are next, and all public servants are next, with the possible exceptions of firefighters and cops, because he needs them to crack, well, not firefighters, but the cops to crack some skulls when other people get too uppity. Him, they won't get 1.25 and 2.5%. I guess. And of course they added like an extra 0.5% or 0.25% to each of the, you know, salary levels to make it seem like, well, you know, we're being reasonable.
Right? No, they're not.
Yeah. No. So this is an imposed contract. And here's some facts that some kids might not know. This was tried before. The McGuinty government tried this against teachers when he was there. And in, I believe in 2016, so it took a long time, there was a court decision that ruled that that was a complete violation of your basic rights, because you have a constitutional right to strike in order to get better working conditions. And there were settlements given to QP. There were settlements given to secondary school teachers. There were settlements given to another group. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. And the last group, anyway, they were forced to pay $103.1 million to the province's elementary school teachers. That was the last one of the four groups that came up. And that came up in February of this year.
Interesting.
So Doug Ford was in power when that one, and that was the major part of the fine. $50 million to Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation, $56.7 million to QP itself, and $2.7 million to the Ontario Public Service Employees Union, for a total of $212.5 million. Them imposing a contract ended up costing Ontario taxpayers $212.5 million. They could have just given that at the onset as extra salary, but no. They had to fight that. And, of course, all the
legal fees. Yes.
It's fighting them, right? So, knowing that, that is why he is doing this while imposing the notwithstanding clause for the third time now, violating people's rights three ways from Sunday, because not only is he taking away their right to strike, their right to come to the bargaining table for a negotiated settlement with their employer, but he's also taking away their right to legal recourse for something he knows is a violation of a charter right, because the 100 million part of that 215 million part came down just in February.
Yeah. Yeah, thing is, let's be realistic here. Do you think he knows any of this? Like, actually knows any of this? I know there's members of his cabinet that do. I'm thinking Doug doesn't know any of it because they keep him in the dark and they pull him out because he's a talking penguin from time to time. They just pull him out when they need him.
Yeah, but if you have time, to write a 100-page law to do that, you know, right? And if you have time to be making pumpkin carving videos, but you do not have time to show up to testify at the public, like, so there are things for which you have time, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Hey, Doug, your pants are on fire again. You know why? Because you're fucking lying.
This is not about the kids. This is about making sure, because we talked about this in the previous episode with Heather Stephenson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Manitoba, when she was talking about it, it's like, this is about keeping mom and dad at work so they keep basically pumping into the economy, because, you know, people are predicting that a recession's coming, and that's never good for a government. Nope. To keep the tax base dollars coming in, so you can then take that money and not spend it on health and not spend it on education, but funnel it to developers and funnel it to people who are building highways and funnel it to people who run long-term care centers. So he has time to let grandma and grandpa and mama and papa die in LTCs. He's got time to not dismantle an occupation in the nation's capital, but he's got time to get to Queen's Park at 5 a.m. to impose a non-negotiated contract on a group of people who make an average of $39,000 a year, and at the same time, take away their legal recourse. I'm really hoping that QP goes to court with this one. I'm hoping that this eventually gets to the Supreme Court, because we need for there to be a case at the Supreme Court where the nine justices can say that there are reasonable limits to how you can use that notwithstanding act.
You can't just whip it out anytime you want.
Oh, sorry.
You can't just whip it out anytime you want. It's not a penis. Stop doing that.
Yeah, because it's becoming a thing now.
Mm-hmm. This is the third time he's used it. Third time for sure.
The third time.
Third time, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to make a decision, and don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't make me do it.
Don't force my hand.
Just because I am going to trample all over your rights.
He doesn't give a shit.
I will do it. I've done it before and I'll do it again.
Yeah, the typical words of an abuser. Yeah. Right? Don't make me force my hand. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Those are words of an abuser. Now, I'm not making an accusation about his personal life. I'm not. Let's be very clear on that. But those are the words of an abuser. And he is abusing his position as premier, not premier, but premier, because he says premier and police and COVID. I know he graduated high school and he dropped out of college, but did he ever take a grammar class? Because what the hell, dude?
It's this folksy thing he's doing.
Kind of like Jean Chrétien used to do. Because Jean Chrétien, who said the little guy from Shawinigan, he's 6'4", so he's not little, and he was highly educated, but he spoke that way intentional so that he could relate to people on a better basis. So I can see why Doug does that. But the difference is Jean Chrétien was an intelligent, articulate man, and Doug was a failed former hash dealer. Go ahead and try and, you know, sue me for that one. It's well documented. It's been in the Torstar and the Globe and Mail.
Yeah. So that's the table he's setting. What other option is there for workers than general strike in response to this? Because, values. You treat people how to teach people how to treat you. If nobody stands up against this, and he's counting on the fact that parents have had kids at home during COVID and whatnot, and they just don't want them at home. Mm-hmm. Listen, somebody made the suggestion, you know, if your kids are at home, why not bring them to your, if you're living in Ontario, your MPP's constituency office.
Mm-hmm. And have them babysit.
Because since they think that schools are a babysitting service,
mm-hmm.
let's give them a taste of their own medicine.
Agreed.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to throw this up real quick, and then I got to jet because it's almost time at the end of the day here. But I thought this one was funny. Just saw someone refer to Alberta as the block redneck quaw, and my life is complete. I'm sorry. I know Bert is going to get mad at that one, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that would go, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The irony of all of this in Alberta is like in the 70s and 80s, they loathed Quebec, mm-hmm. and now they seek to be Quebec.
Irony.
Talking about coming full circle.
Irony.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
That is just, this is our quote unquote friend, Tom Mazzero.
Oh, yes.
Before he's going to be testifying, I'm putting it, while you read it.
I'm putting it all out there for all mainstream media when I testify this week. I will be looking for defamation closely, very closely. I'm already going after one of your colleagues, in quotes, in media. I'm going to hold you all accountable for defamation. If you do it, I promise you all.
Okay. Tom? Here's a little law 101 for you, my dear friend. Little law 101.
The tort
of defamation requires the plaintiff to prove three elements. One, the defendant made a defamatory statement in the sense of that the impugned words would tend to lower the plaintiff's reputation in the eyes of a reasonable person. Two, the words in fact referred to the plaintiff. And three,
fine. You don't have the full definition of, and it's impugned, not impugned. Sorry, that's your Francais. Impugned. Yeah, your Francais is coming through there.
It is my French. And then there's a third thing. Sorry, that didn't show up.
That's okay. See if you can find it there. No problem. Yep. Yeah.
But there's three elements. First of all, if it's something that's true but is unflattering, that's not defamation. If it's something that's true but hurts your feelings.
Not defamation. Sorry.
Defamation. And your reputation in the eyes of a reasonable person is kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so, and the third thing is that the words complained about I actually clicked on the thing, and then the three things that are listed are completely different than the ones that are listed in the
definition. Don't worry about it. Did you happen to catch any of the poke yesterday? I watched Belton. What's her name?
Bridget Belton.
Bridget Belton. I tried to watch 10 minutes of it, and my blood pressure went way up, so I shut it off, and I just paid attention to... Noelle Narwhal, she was tweeting it.
Yes.
So I just sent her a tweet and said, look, I tried to watch this. My blood pressure went through the roof. Thank you for doing this service because I couldn't take this woman just screaming. Did you wear a mask? Why did you refuse to wear a mask? Because I was an abused woman.
You're not the only one.
Lady, you're not the only person in Canada. It's like when Tom says, well, you know, my friend couldn't go to a funeral, my nephew. I couldn't go. There are four family funerals I could not attend. When my father was damn near on his deathbed, I couldn't visit him in the hospital. I didn't occupy a city. I did not shit in people's streets. I did not torture people with DJs, train horns, and fireworks. And I didn't demand to sit down with a dissolved parliament and work with the opposition to form my own government. Because I'm an adult, and I knew that all of that was temporary. But I'm the cuck crybaby. I'm the cuck crybaby because I yelled at people in the streets. That's the best part of it all for me.
The third thing is that the words have been published by a third party.
So, right.
For example, media. And yesterday, the one thing I did see about about the public order is commission is I found out why it is that Tom Morazzo said to you, well, I slept well with that little smile on your face while you didn't. It seems that this guy named Joseph Bourgeau
paid for,
ran for the leadership of the CDC. And in every photo where you see him, he's wearing a red baseball cap that doesn't say Make America Great Again, but is wearing a red baseball cap. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very, very rich businessman from somewhere in Saskatchewan. Apparently, he paid for the very, very cushy hotel rooms that these people stayed in far, far away from where the noise.
Well, according to Tom, he was three blocks away.
Convenient. But...
yeah, most of them were out of town. Yeah.
Yep. He needs to testify, too.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. There's a part of me that's tempted to go sit in the gallery for that, but I don't know if I can get the time away from work, honestly.
Oh, no, you would pop up and start swearing.
Well, I probably would. I probably would get carted out because I'd start yelling at him. I would. I can show an incredible amount of restraint, but as soon as the bullshit starts flowing out of his mouth, nope. I'm not going to sit there and allow him to get away with it. Now, I know lawyers will cross-examine him and they will nail him to the proverbial cross on this, but I would have to loudly voice my opinion, thereby making a large spectacle of myself, getting escorted out of the building. It would be on national news, and I'd probably be unemployed by the end of it. So I'm not going to do that. I hate to disappoint the kits, but I have to look out for my, you know, my future and my welfare because I, you know, we don't make any money at this. So I got to continue to earn a living at my day job for the time being.
Yeah. Well, Kits, Mr. Grizzly's got to go. So I think we have a show.
Ooh, we do.
Look at that accidental vibe. That's the end of this episode of Just a Nibble, the Not Quite Daily Beaver podcast. We hope you love listening to us because we love making this for you. Because democracy is something you do. Stand in solidarity if you're in Ontario and even throughout Canada with the people from QP because this is coming to a province near you. Trust me. If this works here, they're going to try this everywhere because there's nothing conservatives love to spread more than a bad idea. If you really like this podcast, you can find us on the Dean Bloodell Network as well as anywhere you get all of your podcasts featuring a grizzly bear and a beaver. Please share the podcast and we love your feedback. You can do that via Facebook or Twitter on our blog page or Twitter site or by email at truenortheagerbeaver@gmail.com. Subscribe to us via our podpage.com/thetruenortheagerbeaver with a hyphen between each one of those words. And if you'd like to support us, you can find our tip jar at our Ko-fi page. That's ko-fi.com/eagerbeaver, all in one word. And if you'd rather get something for your money, we've got some merch for you, t-shirts in sizes from small to 3XL. And you can get yours at deanblundell.square.site/s/store. And if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please give us some stars and leave a comment. We really like that. And
they can hate listen to us too. That the haters want to hate listen to us, feel free, because all you do is make our numbers go up.
Exactly. From the Beaver. And if you are watching us on video, please download our episodes to help us chart. We appreciate that. From the Beaver Lodge, this is your Eager Beaver saying, until next time, dear kits, it can be a tough world out there, so be kind to and gentle with yourself. Mr. Grizzly, a quick word of wisdom?
Yeah. Try and remain calm today when you're watching the POEC, P-O-E-C, the Public Order Emergency Commission, when you see the testimony from people like Rat King, Tom Mazzero, and whoever the hells they bring up to the stand today.
Yeah, try it's Wackadoodle Week.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's Wackadoodle Week for sure.
So, you know, yeah, they're using this as an opportunity to do more propaganda for themselves.
It's all right.
They're not there to do any truth or stuff like that. So just let them spew their thing and then wait for the cross-examination and then enjoy that. All right. See you, kids.
The True North Eager Beaver podcast is an Eager Beaver Mr. Grizzly collaboration. Research, story, and guest curation and copywritten by the Eager Beaver. Recording, production, editing, and additional research by Mr. Grizzly. Music courtesy of Ben Sound Royalty Free Music. Once again, thank you to our founding sponsors, the Peppermaster, the Misfit Mysteries from Corvid Moon Publishing and CanadianTarot.com, and thank you to Pete Jarvis for our artwork. We love it. Kits, we'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
Take care. I just realized that your camera is on mirror because that's backwards. We'll figure that out for the next show.
Good to know.
Yeah. I'm like, well, when we had the interview show the other day, I'm like, why is the door switched sides? And when you held up your mug, I'm like, that's why your camera's mirroring the image. So we'll fix it in the settings later. Anyway, kids, we got to go. Right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to a True North Eager Beaver Media Podcast.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.